Mary, can I see you just for a second?
Is there any documents that are going to go? I just want to understand the ideas of what this is.
So that he can, I think, I'm not aware of anything that I'll find out. Yeah.
Now, Council President, would there be any opportunity for public comment?
Pardon me?
Would there be any opportunity for public comment?
I haven't even thought of it, but we can do that.
Pause for a second.
We can do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They wanted to come.
Yeah, no, they do. We're supposed to meet tomorrow.
I know.
Yeah.
He said that.
I figured save you a step. You want to try and take the talks?
Who?
Sheriff, Under Sheriff.
Sure, yeah, well, I mean, we're meeting, and if I may, before we start, Under Sheriff and Director, I didn't know you were coming today, but we're scheduled to meet tomorrow about this, among other things. So if you would like to come up, or I don't know how this.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If you'd like to come up and participate.
Thank you, Councilman Boyd.
Please, anybody else back there that should be up here? How about, what's your name?
It's not my notice meeting, sir, but my ECA is going to get the signing sheet, just so we can have it for the record, so it's coming to you.
You want to bring them up?
We can.
Beth, why don't you come up? And Dean, you want to come up, please? Dean Allen? As well, I think we got enough seats.
We do.
I think we've got a sign-in sheet coming in at some point.
I sent Willie to go get one.
Charlie? I'm fine, how about?
7:15 tomorrow morning. I won't go up. I'll have to get back for this. That's fine. No problem, I'll get back for you. Bye. Bye.
Yes, 104.
Okay. Thank you. We'll call this meeting, this notice meeting to order on the jail committee, subcommittees, that kind of thing. Why don't we go around the dais?
Beth?
Sure, I'm Beth Payne with the Northeast Florida Regional Council.
Rockmont Johnson, City Council, District 14.
Nick Allard of your, Dean of your new law school.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at Large.
Michael Boyle, District 6.
Sean Corsi, JSO's Under Sheriff.
Kevin Goff, Director of Corrections, JSO.
Thank you, everyone, for attending, and those in the audience. Why don't we, anybody here want to give public comment? Okay, you have 3 minutes, sir.
I want to give it to the end, because I want to better understand what conversation is going to take.
If we have time at the end, that'll be fine. You're welcome, sir. Okay, Councilmember Boyle, I'm going to start with you.
Sure.
Why don't you please give us the charge of this particular subcommittee?
Right.
As you set this up, so we can make sure we all have an understanding of that initially.
Well, first, let me start by welcoming and introducing Dean Nick Allard. We had a meeting last week. He's expressed avid interest in getting involved in this project and supporting us. And so his intent to be here today is really to kind of have a better handle on what we're going on. I forwarded to you a memorandum which I drew up for him, and I know his folk, faculty and staff and folks are taking a look at how possible participation either by the faculty and or staff in this project going forward. So thank you, Dean, for being here today. Do appreciate it. Clearly, as the working groups evolved in this process, I think the one we're talking about today, which is now characterized or called the Holistic Services Working Group, is probably one of the more pivotal ones in the context of this process, and probably the more complicated ones. And my hope in meeting with Rockman Johnson and Councilmember Johnson in this fashion, I was not able to stay for the entirety of his meeting. I've sat in on every working group meeting, so I was hoping to get caught up with your help, Council President Salem, as I know, because you couldn't sit in either, to see where we are in the context of this group, specifically as it relates to, you know, the safety, security, and well-being, and the provision of services across the board. And as he characterized it in the minutes of his last meeting, both the inmates and teammates is really what he's focusing on. And that was appropriate because in the charge, as I narrowed it down a little bit, we did recognize that it is about the well-being of not only those who are incarcerated, but those who are providing service to those who are incarcerated in this process. So I did welcome the opportunity for him to incorporate that into his mix. Conversation with Under Sheriff Corsi and others with respect to that. Interested in understanding and assuring that while they certainly support those kind of work, it isn't necessarily within the purview of their responsibility. So they're very interested in knowing how we are going to come together in creating a facility that serves not only the needs of the incarcerated, but those who are providing them services.
Now, just to clarify, a big part of this was health care as well as mental health services. Is that correct?
It was mental health and behavioral health services is where we started in this process. Councilman Johnson expanded it, and we gave each of the council members, head of a working group, the capacity or the wherewithal to make modifications, both in terms of their focus and the process, as long as it stayed within the realm of what our focus is here, which really is what kind of facility or facilities best serve those specific needs.
If I may, Mr. President, Mr. Boylan, I'd like to take a little bit of umbrage with the thought that I expanded it. Simply when I spoke to professionals when I started to try to do this work, and during my tour, which I'm so thankful that Director Goff took time to take me around the facility, one of the things I heard when I spoke to those people that were working there was issues that related to the different kinds of health problems that existed for both the people that were incarcerated as well as the people that worked in the facility. So that's why I didn't look at it as an expansion. From my understanding, as we were looking at the health services, it included all kinds of health, which meant spiritual health, mental health, absolutely, and physical health.
I offered that actually more as a compliment, not a criticism.
I just
want
to make sure we're on the same page.
We are. Okay. And like you said, you were given the latitude to say, look, as I started to do my work, I realized it goes beyond just behavioral and mental health.
Yes.
And I'm
physical
fine with
health.
That. And physical health.
Yeah.
Let me try to jump in, because I set up this special committee on the jail, and it's my goal through this particular committee that health care in the jail is a very important topic. The sheriff just signed a $100 million contract with NAFCARE, because it is our responsibility that we take care of the health care needs of our inmates while they're incarcerated. And that means going to UF Health if they need hospital care. That's part of all that agreement as well. And we do know now that roughly 40% of the inmates have some type of mental health issue or taking some type of a mental health drug, whether that's an antipsychotic, antidepressant, et cetera. And it was my goal, as we look at building a new jail, that we make sure that the physical facilities are set up in a way that can manage that. Because I don't think the present facility anticipated 30 some odd years ago the healthcare needs and the diverse healthcare needs of our inmate population, nor did I don't think they considered the mental health issues that we have in the jail. It being, you know, the largest mental health provider in the county is the jail. And my experience with our mental health offender program is just an example of trying to divert inmates out of that situation into a more compassionate situation, and to get them help and keep them out of the jail if we possibly can. So that was my, to me, that's the real thrust of this committee. And if we can, if things can be added or whatever in order to support those initiatives, I'm all fine with that. And I think that would include then bringing in experts locally that can address those issues, whether the, and I know Cindy Funkhauser has attended some of the meetings. Clearly, she can speak to some of these needs. It may require representatives from NAFCARE coming in and giving some input there. But my personal feeling is those issues can be handled within the committee structure as you, with you chairing it. And I don't think that we necessarily need to create a bunch of subcommittees in order to do that, because that's really taxing on the staff as well, and keeping minutes. And I know Beth can assist in that as well, and helping identify experts that can help in those areas. You know, there's a desire to try to pull all this together in a reasonable period of time so that we can analyze it. And then I think the sheriff is eagerly wanting to put out an RFP sometime next year, and I assume in the early part of next year, to begin looking at, through all this information we're gathering, to see what type of jail we're going to hopefully build down the road. And I'd welcome anybody's comments to that. If they think that that's kind of where we are, or if they want to add something to that, I welcome your comments. Anybody from your end?
Okay. Well, just real quick, I agree wholeheartedly. We look at the programs, but we also got to, our concern is make sure where the building is built adequately for those, because I've noticed in some jails I've toured around the state, they have infirmaries, just as a case in point, infirmaries that they can, instead of shipping them to the hospital, they take care of them there in house. So that's something we're looking at. Our concern would be mandating some programs where we have to now staff those programs. That's where I think our concern is. We have to be careful of that from a JSO perspective, that some of the mental health programs would be, the professionals would handle that, not have a CO trying to give mental health counseling, that kind of stuff. It'd be more of an outside, whether it be
contract
mental health resource center or somebody like that, helping to get those inmates in touch with the people that need and can provide the best services for them, not necessarily a JSO person per se.
No, but just to touch on that, we need to make sure we design a physical plant that
yes, sir.
That provides those. Who provides it is one question, but if you don't have the physical plant that allows that to occur, then I think we've missed the boat.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that's the problem where we're at now, is our building is limiting our capabilities and how we process it, people that are arrested, and providing them services. And I think that's one thing I greatly do want, is to build a building that in the future, even if we don't start right away when the building is completed, that in the future we know we can expand mental health services, physical services for healthcare, that kind of stuff for them.
I ideally have our own mental health wing partnering with MHRC, as an example, who would come in and provide those services. Like Director Gall said, JSO can't provide those services. That's out of our expertise. We are happy to house it and partner with other agencies to come in. Of course, there's always the question of budget too. Whose budget is that going to fall under? So those are things that we have to think about as well.
Well, sure.
If I may, Mr. President, I totally agree. I'm not sure. It just seems like I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Our goal is not to talk about programs, but to literally talk about what the facility looks like.
Right.
I would love to get any suggestions from anyone, not even on the panel or anyone there. The way that we had set it up was there would be three working groups. There's our holistic facilities working group. There would be three committees of one, right? Which is three people that would be co-chairs of those subcommittees. And it's not in stone, but it's just advice I was given. Three committees of one, Everybody else that provides information would be subject matter experts. We question them, we get that rich data back, put it together, and then come up with, this is what the facility is going to look like. How do we need to go vertical or horizontal? Do we need a space for a quiet room? Do we need a space for, as you said, an infirmary? So for me, I wouldn't even, at this point, not even looking at location. We're not looking at the programs that are offered. We are simply saying, in order for the facility to exist, here is what it needs to look like.
Well, I could not agree with you more. I would just suggest to you that everything stay within your committee, and because the issue of having multiple subcommittees potentially meeting, I would suggest that you keep it all under one umbrella and you bring those people to your regular meeting and allow them to speak. I have attended a couple of these. I think one that Councilmember Boylan did, and Councilmember Boylan didn't say a whole lot during the whole meeting. He was allowing those experts to provide testimony so that everybody could hear it and understand it. And I think that's where we need to get to, is to bring in those people that that can be identified through the sheriff's office, through Beth, through Cindy Funkhauser, and potentially others, NAFCARE, that can come in and say, I have been to these facilities and this is how it was structured. One of the things that I'm looking at on a side note is UF Health and indigent care at UF Health. And one of the issues that has come up is inmate care, because inmates that go to UF Health fall under the indigent care contract. I was not completely aware of that. Now I am, and of course my first question was, how much of the indigent care contract is made up of inmate health care?
Right.
If we're giving them $40 million a year, how much of that is eaten up by inmate health care? And could we structure a jail to where we could limit the number of transfers to UF Health and better take care of people right there in the environment? The environment you have now is not real conducive to that. I understand that. So we just cannot miss the boat here on making sure that these issues are discussed, so we know exactly the type of facility that we need to build physically.
I think perhaps your conversation tomorrow with the undersheriff and the directors, getting contact information for NAFCARE. I think there'd likely be a very critical to this process to make an assessment of the existing facilities and what they project they're going to need if we are looking to expand and keep under the roof this kind of work. I suspect the conversation with the Mental Health Resource Center in terms of their commitment going forward and how they plan if we expand the capacity of the facility to manage that kind of work. You know, what kind of resources can they bring to the table? I don't want to build something if they're not in a competitive position to actually support it with services. So we'll need to understand that as well.
And if not them, who?
Yeah. Right. And this is not a criticism. Councilmember Johnson, it's not a criticism. I'm really just trying to get a better understanding of where you were headed in this process.
Yeah, simply to, if I may, through the chair, I guess it's kind of informal, but that's what we were trying to do, was to find out what it looked like. And so while I do think, and honestly, I'm taking notes and I want to, you know, look and see what we can incorporate into it, I do think it's important to have those people that are not involved now, but I think it's also important to look outside of where the involvement is, so that the innovation that's going on throughout the country. I know I've toured a couple of, you know, on my own dime, a couple of other facilities outside of the area, and hope to bring that back. And I have a few that I'm looking at in other parts of the country that are both similarly sized and larger. Not because I think all of us, no one wants the jail to be at capacity or over capacity. The goal is not to have as many people there. But at the end of the day, with a city that's growing as quickly as ours, the reality is there are going to be more people that are incarcerated because there are more people living in the city. So our focus, though, back to the group, is specifically to say, what does this facility look like? And I have to go back, the thing that I kept hearing, you know, in my tour, And my heart goes out to the ladies and gentlemen there. When I saw some of the facilities with mold growing on the walls, and I know I'm a fitness enthusiast like the president, you know, I know you like to run, these people are spending 10 to 18 hours a day at some points there because they have to. And to be able to go to a fitness facility and just take a moment to run or lift a weight or something, and they're having to step over feces and sandbags to get to a weight room. Those are the things that we want to make sure that this facility has so that their mental and physical, you know, if there needs to be somewhere where the officers can go and get checkups or whatever they need, especially with the fact that one of the other things which I didn't even think about, is if there were an injury that happened there, as you said, 40% of the people there roughly have mental illness issues. It's very easy for these officers to get injured. How do we then get them taken care of? Do we have to then stop and transport them off site? And do we put them in the same facility with the inmates if they need some medical attention? And those are the things I think that the committee is looking at. So while I do think it's important to involve the current people that are a part of that, I just wanted to make sure. And so I think this is great. And Mr. President, I will take that and work to make it one group. It just seems such an insurmountable task to focus on. Like, mental health itself is a whole huge thing. So that's why we wanted to at least I thought it would be easier to break it up. But I understand.
What I would encourage you to do is work with Councilmember Boylan to figure out how many meetings you have between now and roughly January.
Yeah.
And try to say, this meeting is going to be on mental health, and we're going to bring in the experts in mental health to this meeting, take their testimony, make sure we got it. You have a meeting on regular health care. You bring in NAFCARE and other people that can advise you, listen to them on the type of structures that they've experienced in other parts of the country on what healthcare should look like. An infirmary, are there actually beds in there where inmates can sleep? The other point I'd make to you, we all understand the present facility is not ideal. I've been in it many, many, many times. Over the last year or two.
I was going to say, did you really want to share that with
and
not in that capacity, right?
In another capacity. I have been in that jail. And so one of the reasons that I set up this special committee is because I recognize that it's over 30 years old, and we need as a community to address that. And it wasn't, from what I saw, it was talk, 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 and no action. So the purpose of this was to create some momentum to get this done. So that's how I would structure it, Councilmember Johnson, and Councilmember Boylan would be glad to help.
Anyway, we can. Just an example, because the focus of my working group is the Police Memorial Building, our first meeting was really getting an assessment of the existing facility, what needed to be done. And our second meeting is going to be a fine-tooth comb on that, and as well as getting an understanding and the sheriff's vision as to what's going forward and what we envision in terms of specific needs in the future. Meetings 3 and 4 are going to be companies like Gilbane, HDR, OCI, and others who are in the business of building these kind of facilities. So they will have heard what they're looking for, and then you have those folks. And I recommend you probably reach out a couple of those people who are in the business of building these kind of facilities so they understand and hear what the other folks see as necessary in terms of meeting the needs of those. And let's not forget, you mentioned mental health and physical health, but also behavioral health in terms of, you know, opioid conditions, et cetera, that we need to address them. But we are elastic. Mid-January is our target for a come together meeting. It sounds to me yours might take us a little bit longer than that. But if not, I'd love to be able to see at some point in time a structure, and I'm sure Beth and I have talked about this, to make sure that we have a decent calendar for each and every one of the working groups so we know the mid-January. And so it would be helpful if you can get to Beth or her people that information so we can have a sense of what that schedule is. It works for the JSOs as well as healthcare providers.
Yeah, we have tasked Beth with putting together the final report, so clearly she or a member of her staff need to be there. So I would encourage you to set that schedule from now. And I do believe bringing one of these construction people that are building jails in, and let them tell you that we have built these two facilities lately. This is how healthcare looked like. This is what the infirmary looked like. We had a separate inpatient facility for people that needed IVs or whatever it was, et cetera, et cetera. If inmates get sick or whatever, to me, that's a whole separate situation that the sheriff's office needs to deal with. You know, that's not our issue. If they get injured, there's a whole process that they go through to take care of that officer. And I want that done, but I don't see that as our charge. I think our charge is dealing with the inmates and the facility that takes care of them.
This is for the benefit of Dean Allard. The difficulty of having the issues we talk about, sunshine, and doing this kind of work, you can see the challenge here. Councilmember Miller is heading up the housing side of this thing, which incorporates, this is part of that conversation. And unfortunately, they can't have a meeting one-on-one, the two of them, to talk about what they have found up to that point in time. So I'm hopeful somewhere down the road we can find a way to address the challenges the sunshine brings to this process of having this kind of proactive policy making, if you will. So I wanted to share that with you. But I wanted to mention that too for Councilman Johnson. At some point in time, I would strongly encourage that you pull into this meeting Councilmember Miller to see what they are doing in terms of creating that housing facility, because obviously this is part and parcel to his work.
Okay. Anybody else? Councilmember Johnson. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes in. I don't see, the only thing that I see that's a little bit different is the we were doing is pulling everything in one meeting. But I think we're on the same page, because the goal is to make sure that we are saying, here is what the new place looks like. And that's it.
Do you have meetings set up for the future?
So our first, and I'm waiting now, what we did at the first meeting, this is just taking advice, since there was kind of not a structure, I took advice, and so they said to have almost like a guerrilla meeting, so to speak, for lack of a better term. It's not really, because it was to just bring everybody together, throw it against the wall and see what sticks, which is what we did. We brought everybody together and said, this is the thing that we want to see. We want to come up with how this building will look. And the initial move was to have these three, as I said, co-chairs with them being a committee of one, and not to avoid sunshine, but the subject matter experts would then be able to speak to that co-chair, and then when they come back with me, that meeting would be noticed that everybody could come to. But I do understand the pivot and why that is recommended. And so what I've asked them to do, those three individuals that did agree to be co-chairs, and as they look back on, and thank your team, because they sent back quite a great deal of information, we're still working to distill that down and get it out. So it's a little bit tighter, but we're hoping to have that meeting schedule out by mid-October, which is kind of now. I'm just waiting on responses from those people we asked to be co-chairs. So what I'm going to do is kind of retool in the next few days and work on still maintaining those as co-chairs, but making them a part of one committee as opposed to three different parts of the working group, and then have those meetings structured differently. So I'm assuming I'll have those, if everyone agrees to the dates, by the end of the week.
Thank you. Yep. The other thing I would tell you is you're never going to get a consensus on everybody coming on a particular time.
Yeah.
I would just encourage you to work with Beth.
And Mr. President, if I may, we did put in four to block that time off, I think, because your team was okay with it. Our team was okay with it. Fridays at 1:30. Over in Linwood.
Okay.
So we do have it there. It's just who's meeting at what time that we were waiting on. But we do have Friday, because that worked for everybody's schedule when we were at that organizational meeting.
Is it every other week or every week?
It's every other week.
Okay.
Except for this would be the week that we wouldn't, because there was a conflict. But moving forward, they have it on the schedule every other week in Linwood.
Okay. Well, I would just encourage you to get that schedule out.
Yep.
That's your schedule. Yeah. If assuming you'll get as many people there as you can.
Yeah.
And I would, even to the point of working with Beth and putting subjects on each one of those meetings, the subjects we talked about a few minutes ago, so you know exactly what the topic is, and hopefully those responsible people can be there. Is what would be my suggestion, just to get it, and that way you can kind of plan it out for the rest of the October, November, and all the way into December, at least through mid-December. Beth, does that make sense?
It does. It does. I do think there are other committees that meet on Fridays, but I think there you is. Might be opposite.
Well, that's probably
which is good.
Yeah, we did. Well, the Peluso's committee meets
in the morning.
In the morning. Mine's going to get that afternoon.
Miller's meets in the afternoon. And, well.
But Miller's, I think, I wanted the AV room.
Got
right.
It.
So Miller's going to meet on the opposite week. So that way, because there's only obviously until next year or something. That's the only room that has the capabilities of streaming and Zoom and all. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else need to say anything? So I would suggest you still meet with the undersheriff tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
And let him help you make some contacts with NAVCARE. And hopefully you can get him a contact.
I'll get you some contacts for the three developers.
Thank you.
Construction companies you've been working.
And I would work with get those to Beth as well, so she can help with that.
Yeah.
And I would just plan it out for the rest of this calendar year.
And I would agree with the best practices. Certainly, if there's from the JSO side, if there are facilities, you've obviously toured some outside of the area and the state. And there's kind of best practices of places you think are doing it really well that we can work on getting an online presentation from somebody who can share that. You know, we're happy to help do that.
I think you mentioned that there's one local county that has done some good work in this area to me.
Putnam County has done a lot with their opioid and substance abuse programs in the jail. They have a very kind of high success rate in that regard. So
you know,
their local contacts, we're happy to help.
Would love to have it. I know the group I reached out to I looked more at, again, away from programs, back to facilities. There's a group in Miami who does construction specifically. And so I'd reached out to them because they're going to be eventually making a presentation because that's what they do, plan facilities.
Interesting, I'm also in the Putnam County Jail on a routine basis. And interestingly, they have taken over health care internally
at
Putnam County. They're doing it themselves versus contracting with an outside source.
Which we used to do.
I understand. It's just interesting that it's a smaller county. It's a smaller jail. I get it, but they made the decision of doing it themselves.
And I know while we're on record, I know we're going to talk tomorrow, but you guys have been around for a while, not telling your age, but when we did it ourselves before, was it because of the size the reason that we decided to subcontract or contract out? Right, absolutely.
Just from my background in HR, I heard we had a lot of difficulty in hiring nurses and keeping the nursing staff to an appropriate, adequate level, just due to the term.
Like training and stuff?
So, get the training for us to hire them and keep that full staff.
Yeah, I got you.
It's hard to keep it competitive.
And it's
from talking to people, and I've done some research, if you're a nurse and you can make X amount at St. Vincent's or a hospital setting, and you're getting basically the same pay or less working in a correctional facility, unless you've got a real interest in that, it's hard to compete with that. And that was the problem I think they were having. Okay? Got a plan?
Yes, sir.
We do. Anybody else?
Look forward to sharing.
Okay, let's go to public comment. 3 minutes. You got it? Okay.
My name is Carnell Oliver. I'll fill out a comment card, but I think my focus is the air portion of the committee. Primarily, I think one of my biggest focus is this conversation that we're having about a new jail. There's a current cost already that's impacting our local community. Why can't we not expand the citation program? Because when I just started looking at numbers coming from DOJ. Department of Justice, they send funding to the state, they send funding to the local level. And primarily, since our sheriff is a constitutional officer, he's got to keep the doors to his buildings open, keep everybody staffed up. But we are incarcerating a large number of people who are low-risk offenders. And I feel like in exchange, you get a little bit of what you want. You give us a little bit more, a little bit too, to help drive down the cost a little bit. I understand the components of the healthcare piece you want to try to keep costs down. But when it comes down to low-level offenses, I believe that the citation piece should be something that could be institutionalized right now so that you could have a more targeted approach. Because I'm going to use Georgia for example. Primarily their correctional facilities. They have more violent crime offenses incarcerated. But in Fulton County, they keep less amount of nonviolent offenders in there, but their jail is full of violent crime offenses, which transition over into the prison system. But at the same time, I also am looking at this campus. This is the second portion of the conversation for me. The state legislature passed a bill to allow new juvenile facilities to be built. And I believe that we need to take a holistic perspective. You got the juvenile facility right down on 8th Street. You got the jailhouse that we have for adults right up the street. Combine them both. Go out the state, go out the federal, and all those dollars come collectively together. But we also, I want to look at keeping a lot of low-level offenders here locally, especially those low-level third-degree felonies. I don't know how we can work and charm the legislature to help subsidize a lot of this funding. Because as I'm looking at the stats coming from Florida Department of Law Enforcement, people who are going to prison now are more violent offenders, which does not very much work when we talk about mental health conditions. Some people, children, grew up with a spoon in their mouth. And if you end up sending them to a state prison facility, you have more people who have seen the hard road eat on them. I'm telling you from firsthand experience, people who grow with a silver spoon in their mouth, they stay in lock now because they was raised up in the house. All right? So for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else with any closing comments? I would say, council member, we're all here. We all want the same objective, obviously. So lean on us if you need to. Beth as well. Lean on us. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Was at your meeting and is happy to work and whatever we can do to help make it easier on you guys.
Yeah, I think the one thing.